heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, including the Pacers, right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and talking to you on Monday night following a brutal effort by the Pacers on the road in Charlotte, which led to a thumping at the hands of the Hornets, 122-100, as the Hornets jumped out early and often and maintained a big lead throughout the game. We're going to take a look at how things got started so poorly for the Pacers, and then also jump into some talk of accountability, because somebody's got to feel the pain after another brutal road loss, and also look at some of the numbers which attributed to the bad loss on the road. So don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions, or in this case, complaints about the Pacers, on email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com, or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. The Pacers were coming off a very strong performance against the Bulls. Everyone knows the Bulls were on a back-to-back, and they were ripe to be beat, but the Pacers did have to play well to put them in that position and get them to roll over, and they did. And that was done with a strong effort on both ends of the floor. Now, the Hornets have been a team that has really struggled in the first half of games, as we learned from our friend Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets on the show yesterday. And they've been turning it on in the third quarter. In fact, their net efficiency rating in the third quarter had been about plus 43, I believe, whereas the first half had been a negative 5. Well, apparently they had been emphasizing getting off to a good start, because they came out and absolutely ambushed the Pacers, and they did it with purpose and strong execution. Pacers started out with their what has become a signature pick-and-pop play between Teague and Turner. They've been starting games and halves, actually, with this play that gets Turner a open shot from about 18 feet above the free throw line, and he nailed it to get the Pacers off to a good start. But Michael Gilchrist at the other end went right at Monte Ellis, and then Jeff Teague came down, knocked down a three. So everything is looking good so far. And then the dam broke, and the Hornets continued to go to Michael Gilchrist and use his size on Monte Ellis. Pacers switch Ellis onto Batum, so they go to Batum, and they combine for the first 11 points, and from there, the Pacers were on their heels and reeling as the Hornets just continued to attack and get good shots. And, of course, with Kemba Walker ready to give you that inside-out attack, they're going to be a tough matchup for the Pacers. I thought it was real interesting that they really went at Monte so deliberately, and using Gilchrist and Kid Gilchrist and Batum like that. And then, eventually Kemba Walker was able to get his, and he finished the game with 24 points and 10 assists, and only played in 25 minutes because the Hornets were leading throughout. They scored 43 points in the first quarter, and it was quite a feat that the Pacers were able to close within 9 by the end of the quarter after dropping down by 20. C.J. Miles, who is one of the few Pacers bright spots on the night, launched in a three-pointer at the buzzer to end the quarter and cut the lead to 9. But Pacers weren't able to use that as a springboard to get back in the game and instead only scored 21 points in the second quarter and were pretty much buried for the night at that point. A couple occasional runs, but nothing of note, nothing with the fortitude required to make a comeback against the Hornets on this night. So really frustrating considering the Pacers have lost all four of their games on the road, and they've lost in really pathetic, horrific, choose-your adjective to describe poor play on the road. And after, you know, seeing the solid effort at home, having a day to practice, you would think they would have been ready to go. And at this point, one of the things the players talked about a lot during camp was having some accountability. And we're going to have to start seeing if there's any real accountability with this team, with the way they're playing. The problem is that they have been quite inconsistent. And certain players from game to game are inconsistent, or the team's level of effort is inconsistent. So you can see some improvement in one game and then a drop-off in the other. And it's hard to rip a guy out of the lineup or alter things greatly when it's up and down like that. But at some point, this constant downshift on the road and really this odd lack of energy and intensity has to be accounted for. And that goes from Paul George down to whoever, Kevin Serafin or George Niang, whoever you want to say is the 12th man, suited up. After the game, Nate McMillan, talking to the media, was very frustrated, obviously, and mentioned consistency being the biggest problem and how their play in Charlotte was night and day from the last game, and that any effort in establishing a certain style of play needs some consistency. And they just didn't get any stops in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game to try and establish their style of play. He was asked about what they'll do, how they'll turn things around, and you know, he mentioned they would look at tape, but really he is having a hard time pinpointing or trying to explain why the effort on the road is so bad and so inconsistent. Felt that from the last game, they were real positive coming out of it. Practice was strong leading up to the game, and everything pointed towards a good effort. I know listening to Chris Denary, TV voice of the Pacers, after the game, he mentioned attending the shoot-around before the game in Charlotte and really thought the energy level was great and everyone was on point and really expected a good effort. But then all of a sudden they got hit in the face with those plays from Gilchrist and Batum right out of the gate, and they were staggered and never were able to get back up and get back in the game. So that's not a good thing when you know the coaches are so upset with the level of consistency and really searching at this point, 7 games into the season, for something to make this thing work. I know Billy Beno at the half spoke to Jeremiah Johnson on the TV broadcast and mentioned something similar, how you know really just disappointing it was to see that first half effort after they felt like they had made some progress against Chicago, especially on the defensive end, and you know now they're back to ground zero. So it's a rant-filled night here talking about the Pacers. So as far as some of the players, C.J. Miles led the Pacers with 23 points off the bench. Al Jefferson had 12 points and 9 rebounds. I'd say those two showed up and played, you know, beyond their role, played great, showed energy, continued to fight, and do what you want to do. Unfortunately, those are two guys coming off the bench, and they couldn't drag everyone else along with them. Now, Paul George, I feel, was real disappointing. Coming off that goofy ejection against the Bulls, he's going to be your team leader. You needed him to set a tone, and I know when the Pacers got down, you know, that wasn't all, you know, his fault, if at all, obviously. And you could tell his effort was strong as he felt some desperation to get the team back in the game. But as we've seen a lot throughout his career, he can kind of fade in and out in a game like this. And his frustration and body language can get poor. And one of the surest signs is him starting to try and make plays that may be a little bit too cool for school. And his signature move is that behind-the-back bounce pass that often his teammate isn't ready for, or in one case tonight, I know he bounced it off the foot of, I believe, Cody Zeller. It didn't turn out to be a turnover, but it was just a poor pass, a lazy pass. He had one later, was a turnover. He had 5 turnovers in the game, leading the team, and didn't play most of the last quarter, if at all. I'm not even sure exactly when he came out, but I know all the starters and the bulk of the rotation was out for the last 8 minutes of the game, as McMillan just flipped it over to the last 5 guys on the bench, even though the game was really only 20 points, but it was over. The effort, the way they were playing, it just wasn't happening. And for Paul George, this is a test of leadership. I really have liked how he has responded earlier in the earlier games, drawing out criticism of the defense and demanding more of the team and being a little more vocal and getting some results, at least, on Saturday. But I don't know how he could criticize anybody in this effort without looking in the mirror and taking on some of it on himself. So we'll see how he reacts. It'll be interesting to see what he had to say, if anything, after the game. But what is the accountability? I mean, this is what the main question is going to be coming out of this game, and how is it going to manifest itself going forward? You know, Charlotte has been a brutal matchup for the Pacers. They lost all 3 games last year to the Pacers, and they've now lost 4 of their last 5 games at Charlotte. So it's, for whatever reason, a house of horrors for the Pacers, and it definitely took a turn for the worse in the game tonight, you know, with giving up 122 points, again, over 120 points on the road, just not showing any fight to have a chance in this game. So now, you know, you got to wonder where the Pacers go. They have a home-and-home with Philadelphia, which is a good scenario to try and get right. Philly has some great young talent, but they do not have wins to go along with the talent. Obviously, it's still too early to panic, but it may not be too early to make some shifts in the lineup, and playing Philly might be a good opportunity to try something different. I know big question on the site raised by Jesse Smith was about moving Monte Ellis to the bench and the starting lineup, which is something a lot of people thought might happen before the season. And, you know, Monte has not been the sole problem. Now, tonight, he was an issue with the 2 small backcourt players going against Batum and Kid Gilchrist because of their size. And Charlotte was really a team that was able to take advantage of that size. I know that people clamoring for C.J. Miles, he's playing so well, but the last thing I'd want to do right now is move C.J. out of the role he's playing. He's playing fantastic, and if he's going to be one of the leading scorers on the team off the bench, that's fine. You need a guy to come off and produce like that. It doesn't mean he can't close out games, but, you know, in that role, it seems to be a good fit. You move him in the starting lineup. Paul George is the number one option all the time while he's on the floor. He might not produce the same way, so I wouldn't want to do that. The only thing I might try and tweak, if you were going to move Monte to the bench, is throwing Glenn Robinson III in the lineup. And just kind of like the way Vogel put Paul George in the starting lineup his rookie year and just had him hone in on defense and not worry about offense. if they could get Robinson to just take a bulldog defensive mentality out there and try and help pump up that defense and then let the offense come, you know, after everybody else among that group, I think they would still be fine offensively, but again, have some more length and size to play the wings on the defense. So if you could just get him playing some Banshee D and then getting everything else offensively through scraps, might be worth a try and might actually boost Robinson's confidence and definitely his impact on the team. He played some more minutes tonight, Grover's minutes, looked a little more assertive, definitely was willing to get up shots, so, but a lot of that was towards the end when the game was still out of hand. So I don't anticipate a starting lineup change 7 games into the season. I'm sure they're going to keep grinding and trying to figure out what they can do with what they have right now. But since that was a topic today on the site, I thought I'd throw in my 2 cents after this messy finish in Charlotte. So real quick, thanks again to the Locked On Podcast Network. Always appreciate the support around the network. And, you know, you can find great shows with all the upcoming opponents, just like I did with Locked On Hornets. And also want to direct you to Locked On NBA and Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Some great shows that cover the whole league and a lot of the players and what they're doing. So check them out. Okay, let's look at some of the numbers, which really won't make anybody feel any better about the blue and gold. But as mentioned earlier, C.J. Miles and Al Jefferson were among the best performers and coming off the bench. Speaking of Ellis, you know, he only shot twice against Chicago, but cashed in with 8 assists and 7 rebounds. This game, Ellis took just 4 shots, but this time had 0 assists and 0 rebounds. You know, he was running around giving effort, but nothing was working, and he became a liability on defense. Jeff Teague had 6 assists, but only 9 points, and worse, had 4 turnovers, including, much like a couple of Paul George's lazy passes, there were some just, you know, I don't even know if they were passes, just here, take the ball, turnovers that were really perplexing in that first half run that lasted the whole first half for Charlotte. So, you know, you combine, again, the three main guys who were taking care of the ball for the Pacers, Paul George, 5 turnovers, and Teagan Ellis combined, you get 11 of the 18 turnovers, which led to 35 Charlotte points. You know, that's just simply unacceptable. And, you know, to compound those 18 turnovers, the Pacers had 25 fouls, which led to Charlotte making 28 of 32 free throws. I mean, it's absurd. And definitely in need of some accountability. So, your move, Nate. Okay, that's as much as I can talk about this game. Thank you for listening. Love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers. So, hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Don't forget, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all episodes are available. So check them out. And that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.